Chapter 3. Queen Serena watched her little son Truffin sadly as he sat alone in the centre of Castle Florette's banqueting chamber. Poor squirrel mite, forced to spend his days and nights in captivity, often separated from both parents, with only his old badger nurse Muta to protect him. Serena and her husband, Gale Squirrel King, sat together at one side of the chamber, with Truffin at his bench in the centre, while on the opposite side, Nagru and Silvermord occupied the positions of honour at high table, surrounded by rodent captains. Serena clutched Gale's paw tightly as they fixed their eyes on the tiny hostage. Serena let her mind wander over past events. Was it only a season ago that Nagru and Silvermord had arrived at their gates? It seemed as though they had been in Castle Florette for an eternity. She recalled the night they had allowed Nagru and his mate into their home. It was a windy, drizzling evening in early spring, and the two foxes had looked half dead, starved and bedraggled. Her husband Gale ordered that they be admitted, fed and clothed warmly. Serena regretted that Gale had not heeded the urgent warnings of their friend Rabstream Battle. But the Squirrel King could be stubborn, and he would not hear of Castle Florette's hospitality being denied to any needy creature. Rab continued to oppose him, and the argument escalated until the angry otter stormed out of the castle, taking his otter guard with him. Within the space of two sunsets, the foxes had taken over everything. It was done with fiendish simplicity. Silver-tongued Silvermord had lured Muta to a side chamber and locked her in. Nagru snatched little Truffin and held him breathless with fright, the fearsome hooked wolf claws a hairbreadth from the babe's throat. Gale was forced to lower the drawbridge, and in a trice the castle was teeming with rats, savage, dirty grey rodents, eager to maim, destroy, or kill at a nod from their leaders, Nagru and Silvermord. From that moment their lives had hung by a thread. All loyal friends and courtiers who resisted were slain or imprisoned in Florette's dungeons, while those who were not considered dangerous were forced to wait on the foxes and their officers. The far southern sun no longer shone over a peaceful and happy land. A new king and queen held sway, backed by a horde of murderers. Nagru was big for a fox, lean and powerful. He was mottled bluish-grey from tip to tail, and his cruel eyes resembled chips of granite flake floating in a sea of carmine blood flecks. His only clothing was the full pelt of a wolf, its head resting on top of his own, like a cowl with eyeless sockets. The hide trailed down over his back, with the front limbs covering his own. The wolf claws had been replaced with sharp iron hooks, and when Nagru slid his own paws inside them, they became awesome weapons. His mate Silvermord was smaller in stature, but no less savage. Her fur was whitish-grey with a silver-striped muzzle and back markings, and her eyes were dark obsidian green. Her regalia was a thick skirt of animal tails, with glittering chips of crystal cunningly sewn into them. She moved sinuously to its strange tinkle, the equal of her mate in cunning and evil. Now the barbaric pair sat side by side, sipping elderberry wine from Florette's cellars and sharing the gamey meat of a long-dead plover. Nagru spiked the damson with his claw and shot it viciously at a fat old rat who stood nearby holding a stringed lute-like instrument.
Yogu, play my song!
The rat began playing, singing the dirge in an eerie, high-pitched voice.
From tundras of white and bright sunrises view, cross mountains and forests, o'er seas wide and blue. The one they call Fox Wolf, the Ergen Nagru.